Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you for being here this Friday evening. First of all, welcome everyone. I know some of you were waiting for the first session. So we'll start with the invocation prayers. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratushe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhrayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Once again, welcome everyone and thank you for being here this Friday evening. So, we are going to start on a very important journey. And what is that journey? The journey of self-discovery. You know, a lot of people go to various journeys. Some people go to a trip to Bahamas, California, or wherever it is. And what is the outcome of that journey? When people go to various vacational trips, what is the outcome? If you go out for 5-6 days out of your home, at the end of those 5-6 days, how do you feel? Very enthusiastic, energized? Or do you feel tired, waiting to get back home, that ghar ka khana? And after that trip, maybe your credit card bill is high. So this journey is important from the point of view we are going to discover the real we, or everybody can say the real I. So first of all, you all are very special in one sense. So everybody deserve a round of applause, or maybe you should pat, everybody should pat on their back. So go ahead, pat yourself on your back, because you are very special. You have decided to be here on this Friday evening, whereas you could have done many other things. But you chose to be here to start with us on this journey. So everybody is ready to buckle up their belts to start on this journey. And I hope we continue throughout this journey to get the maximum benefit out of it. So, as I said, you all are special here. You have chosen to be here. You all are special. What makes you special? We have invited maybe hundreds of people, right? In the festival, whoever came, we invited all of them. So we invited maybe hundreds of families and few of them chose to be here. So there has to be something special about you. So what is that something special? What makes you very special? Anybody? Any answers? So maybe you had some inquisitiveness. You wanted to get some answers. You wanted to learn something. So there is something in that, especially some inquisitiveness is there, some inquiry is there, some jigyasa is there, which makes you special. So in this search of happiness, that is the first question, the jigyasa, or the question we need to ask ourselves, are we special? And when we ask, are we special, there is a something in particular asking that question. What is the difference between the human being and the animals? So what makes human different from animals?
Mind.
So we have mind, animals doesn't have mind. Actually, animals also have a lot of intelligence. They also have a rationalization power. A cat is waiting for you to go out of the kitchen so that she can come and drink the milk. It doesn't happen here. I'm giving the example from India. So she is also waiting. She also has some rationalization power. So animals also do have intelligence. So what makes us special or different from animals? We can speak, animals can't speak. Actually, animals also do speak. They have their own language. They also communicate with each other. Right? All the different species of animal, they also have some power of communication with each other.
Discrimination.
The power of discrimination. Animals can discriminate. The example I just gave. Right? Animals also can discriminate. So, in Mahabharata, there is one very nice shloka which says, Ahara Nidra Bhaya Mathunam Cha Samanyam Etat Pashubhi Naranam. So the scriptures define there are four activities which are common between humans and animals. And what are those four activities? Ahara Nidra Bhaya Mathunam. So these are common. Animals also do these things. Humans also do these things. What are these? Ahar, eating. We eat as humans. Do animals also eat or no? So animals also eat. The only difference is, we may eat in a nice, sophisticated way. Nice spoon, fork, table, chair. Nice sabji puri, dal rice, rasmalai, all that. And animals eat whatever they find. In the woods, on the tree, in the fields. So whatever they find, animal eat that. So eating is common, eating is same. The pleasure human receive from eating, in whatever way we eat, animals also receive the same sort of pleasure from eating. The next is nidra, sleeping. So we sleep, do animal also sleep or no?
Yes.
Animal also sleep. So again, we may sleep in a sophisticated way, nice Dunlop pillow bed, air conditioned house. But animal also sleep. They may sleep on a branch, on a tree, in a cave, on the street. But again, pleasure we get from sleeping, animal also derives same pleasure. Next is bhaya. Bhaya means fear for life or protection. So we make arrangement for our protection. Right? We make arrangement for our protection. How do we make arrangement? So we have different sort of weapon, future planning, investments to protect our future. So all that sort of things are to protect ourselves. And do animals also protect themselves? Yes. They also protect. Nature has given various means for animals, different sort of animals, to protect. They will protect themselves by showing the claws or the jaws and some other like tortoise, he can hide within the shell. And some animals, they can run very swiftly if they see any danger. So animals also protect themselves and human also protect. So that is also common. Then Mathunam, humans produce kids. And do animal produce kids? So animal also produce kid. Now we may have a nice facilities for delivery to give birth to a child. Animal may just give birth to a child on the street. But we also produce kid, animal also produce kid. So scripture says these activities are common. Ahar nidra bhaya maithunam cha samanyam etat pashubhi naranam. So what is that which makes us special? What is that which makes us different from animal?
We can think.
Animals don't think. Are you sure? Actually, some animals may have better thinking facility than us. And some may say,
we can differentiate between right and wrong.
Okay, we are getting closer.
The ability to develop consciousness for God.
Okay, now we are getting even further closer. So, to differentiate between right and wrong, to develop the consciousness to get closer to God. So, I will come to the exact terminology. So, some people generally say, oh, we go to school, we get education, animals can't do that. Now, is that the big difference in that? What is the purpose of going to school, going to college? So, we go to school, so we can get some degree, get some life earning, and how we want to use that earning? Again, engage in those four same basic activities. Ahara nidra bhaya maithunam. So with all our earning, we are developing facilities to engage in those activities. With our all modern technology development, we are producing the facilities to engage in those four activities. So all this modern weapon, modern technology, again, bhaya, protection. So, the difference, what is the difference?
Sense of thinking right or wrong.
Sense of thinking right and wrong. So, yes, Mataji said the same thing, to differentiate between right and wrong. So, what makes us exactly different from animals? The second part of that shloka. Ahar nidra bhaya maithunam cha samanyam etat pashubhi naranam. So, these are common. Then, what is the difference? Next part is, dharmo hitesham adhiko visheshu dharmena heena pashubhi samana. So the better facilities or the differentiating factor which is given to human being is dharma. Dharmena heena pashubhi samana. Without dharma, human is no better than animal. So what is this dharma here? What is this dharma referred to here? So dharma here refers to the power of inquiry, the higher intelligence. Human has been given with the higher intelligence, as Prabhu said, the higher consciousness to connect ourselves with God. And how do we connect ourselves with God? The term, the root word is inquisitiveness, inquiry, to ask questions. Now animals can't ask, who am I, why I am here, why these things are happening in life, who is God, how should I connect to God? So that facility is not given to animals. That is given to the human being. So the scripture says, the first part of scripture, the beginning of human life. Beginning of human life means inquiry. So the first part of Vedanta Sutra is Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So what does that mean? Atato Brahma Jigyasa is, therefore, you should inquire. Have you seen any book which start with the conclusion? So, Vedanta Sutra, in one sense, is starting with the conclusion. Any book starting with the word, therefore. Therefore, you should inquire. What is that? That now you have got a human form of life. Therefore, you should inquire. So, beginning of human life means inquiry. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So everybody is searching for happiness. So we are coming to our topic, search for happiness. So everybody is searching for happiness. But in that search, we are just engaged in those same four basic activities. How to sleep better, how to eat better. All same those four basic activities. So there is a nice story of Alexander the Great. Everybody knows Alexander the Great? Sikandar. So when Alexander were conquering the whole world, he crossed the Sindh region, he entered into India. So after entering into India, he put his tents and all for all his troops. So he was staying there. So one night, one thief entered into Alexander's tent. And he was trying to steal some of the items and run away. And the soldiers of Alexander caught him. They brought him in front of Alexander. And Alexander said, "He's a thief, he's trying to steal from my tent. Punish him. Basically chop off his head." And this thief said, "Oh, wait. What is the difference between me and you? I am a thief, you are also a thief." So when he said, "You are also a thief," Alexander was taken aback. "How dare you call me a thief?" He said, "Yes, I am a small thief and you are a big thief. You enter into public property on the strength of your army, on the strength of your weapons, swords, and you try to steal others' private property. And I am a small thief. I enter into somebody's private property and I try to carry whatever I can in my hands and run away. So I am a small thief. You are a big thief. You are Thief the Great." So same is applies to us when we are comparing ourselves with animals, or when the scriptures are comparing. So don't take it personally, first of all. This is not something I am making up. It is what scriptures are telling. Right? Scriptures are saying, if we are engaging in the same, just those four basic activity, without utilizing our higher intelligence, higher consciousness given to us, we are no better than animals. Then we are animals the great. So scriptures again define a terminology for that. Dvipa the Pashu, two-legged animals. So then we are no better than animals, we are just two-legged animals. So there is a higher intelligence. So in Sanskrit, Bhagavad Gita uses another terminology, Kripana. Kripana means somebody who is very miserly, kanjus. So if somebody is a very wealthy person, he locks up all his property and lives like a pauper, a beggar. What will you call that person? A miserly person. So same way, we have been given with higher intelligence, but if we lock up all our intelligence in the back of our brain and we are just utilizing a little bit of those basic intelligence, basic consciousness to engage in those four basic activities, ahara, nidra, bhaya, maithunam. So it means we are acting like a kripana. We have been given higher intelligence, but we are not utilizing that intelligence. So the purpose of human life, the beginning of human life, is to start with the process of inquiry. Athato brahma jigyasa. So everybody in general is looking for happiness. Is that true or false? Anybody here who is not looking for happiness, who doesn't want to be happy in life? Or who does not have problem, let me put it in that way. Anybody here who never had any problem in life? Anybody here? We'll switch garlands. So you need to be honored, right? If you don't have any problem throughout your life. So everybody has gone through some or other problem. Everybody is looking for happiness in life. Even ask a small child, "Are you happy?" He will say, "Oh, right now I have to go to school, I have to do homework. Maybe when I grow up a little bit, then I will be more happy, I will be more independent." So even a child going to a school, he is not happy. He has to get up early in the morning. Mom will say, "Okay, now take bath, eat your breakfast, drink your milk, come back from school, do your homework." So he is also not happy. Then ask a child, when he grows up, he goes to college, "Sir, now are you happy?" Still not happy. Why? Oh, I thought when I will be in college, more independence, I will have whatever I want. But see, that guy, he has so many things. He comes in car to college. He has his own laptop. He has his iPhone. And he wears a nice pair of shoes. I don't have all that. So maybe when I get my degree, when I go to college, or when I go to job, I start earning income, then I will become happy. So what happens? Once somebody starts going to job, so now are you happy? Now you are earning? You can spend whatever way you like? Oh no, too much work pressure. I'm still learning. I'm getting accustomed with the work. Too much competition. So maybe after a few years of experience, when I settle down, then I will be happy. Then boy is looking for a girl, or a girl is looking for a boy, they want to get married. Boy think, oh, I really need to find somebody who cares for me, who loves me. When I find somebody, then I will become really happy. And somehow they find a suitable match, get married, and after that everybody knows. So this is the story of everybody, right? We are keep hearing from our childhood. Go to school, 10th grade, get good marks. After that you will be happy, all set. Then 12th grade, get good grades, then you will be all set. Oh, finish your degree, then you will be all set. Oh, go to get a good job, then you will be all set. Oh, get married, have a couple of kids, then you are all set. Buy a house, then you are all set. So throughout the life, this is going on and on and on. Is it true or wrong?
True.
So, where the happiness slips away from our hand? Where does the happiness slip away from our hand? We are everybody engaged in a kind of rat race. So everybody is in sort of a rat race. Thinking, if I do this, then I will become happy. So there is a story of a donkey. Dhobi ka gadha. So a donkey, he gets a job with a washerman. And washerman want to load all the clothes and take him to the dhobi ghat. And the donkey doesn't want to move. So the washerman, he puts a stick in front of the donkey and put a carrot in the front. So a carrot dangling in front of the donkey. And donkey start moving. Oh, just two steps I will take and I will catch this carrot. Then I will be happy. So he keep moving. Every two steps he's thinking, now I will catch the carrot, now I will become happy. And then he reaches the destination, Dhobi Ghat. So the washerman takes out all the clothes and finally give him the carrot. And donkey thinks, yes, I did it. I achieved it. Now I am happy. And then after he is done washing all his clothes, he again loads onto the donkey. Now the wet clothes, even more heavy. Donkey again doesn't want to move. Again he puts a stick with a carrot dangling in the front. Donkey again, yes, happiness two steps away from me. Let me walk two steps, I will catch this carrot, I will be happy. So he start moving. So this is the same story with our lives also. All of us, we are thinking, let me do this, then I will be happy. Let me do this, then I will become happy. But happiness is always two steps away from us. Or some other problem is right around the corner. True or false? There is another story of a donkey, somehow my favorite subject. Once two donkeys, they had a reunion. So, bachpan ke bichde, ab jaake mile. So the two donkeys, they get a reunion. And one donkey tells other, see, after I graduated, I took a job with a nice washerman. So I'm working very hard. And at the end, I get some nice green grass. And the other donkey said, oh, you are working so hard with this on for your honor, and see, I can get green grass anywhere. So what is the difference in you and me? Why you're working so hard? The other donkey said, you know what? I have very high prospectus. What do you mean high prospectus? He said, one day I heard my master, he was chastising his daughter. So his daughter had made a mistake, so he was chastising his daughter. And he said, next time you make this mistake, I will get you married to this donkey. I'm waiting for that day. See, I have very high prospectus. So again, it applies to us. We are always thinking, oh, let me get a switch to this next job, 10% increment, my life will be all set. Let me move to this bigger house, my life will be all set. We come from India, we think, oh, let me go to USA. Better house, better car, better facilities, life will be all set. So every time we are thinking of high prospectus, and in that way, we are always searching for a better happiness. But somehow or other, happiness always seems to slip out of our hands. So what is the problem? Where the problem really lies? Once four villagers, they went to New York City. So they had never been to New York, just heard about New York. So they came to New York City and they took a room on the top floor of a 100-story building. And they just came for one day and they said, all of us, if we go together to the same places, we will not be able to visit everything. So let's do one thing. All four of us go to different places. One go to maybe Statue of Liberty, another go to Central Park, somebody go to Empire State Building, somebody go to Chinatown. So we all will go to different places, and in the evening we will get together in our hotel and we will discuss what all we saw. So we can share our experiences and share, we can cover basically everything. So they went to all different places. In the evening they met back in their hotel. And that evening there was no power. Maybe some hurricane came. So no power, and their room is at the top floor. They said, we are village people, no worry. We'll climb the stairs. We are used to do hard work. So they started climbing the stairs and everybody started sharing. Oh, I went to Statue of Liberty in the middle of the ocean. This woman standing with one torch in the hand, this, that's what he's describing. Everybody is describing. The fourth person, as they're getting up higher and higher, is becoming more nervous. About 90th floor they reach, this person, fourth person, is very quiet. And finally they ask, now you cheer, what did you see? And this person started crying. Why are you crying? If I tell you, you will also cry. Please tell us. You know what, we are almost to the 100th floor, but I forgot the key at the ground floor. So that is the story of our life. We are trying to achieve so many different things. Technological advancement, this advancement, that advancement. On the name of advancement, we think I have come a lot far. I have climbed the stairs. But we have left something behind. We have left something behind, the moral values, the principles of life. People are getting away from those basic things. And rather than becoming happier after achieving all these things, we are becoming actually more and more miserable. More people may have fake smiles on the outside, but they are broken from inside. Is that true or not? People who go to work, we can vouch for that. Maybe you talk to your co-workers. From externally, you ask anybody, how are you doing? Oh, I'm great, I'm good. And inside, oh, I have this problem, I have that problem, I need to finish this thing, that thing. So, from externally, we may think, I have achieved a lot, I have conquered the world, duniya meri mutthi mein. But internally, we are going away from the real values of life. While trying to solve one problem, we are creating hundreds of new problems. So, to become happy means to solve the problems of life. Is that true or not? If you want to cure, if you want to cure yourself, first of all, we need to know what is my problem. I will give you another problem, another example. Let's say, until you don't know, you have a heartache, stomach problem or stomach ache. Can you cure your stomach problem or it will keep increasing? It It will increase. Somebody, let's say somebody starts with a small headache, and then it, if gets undetected, it will turn into maybe big migraine. So unless we know the problem, can we solve the problem? So what I'm doing here right now is just to come to that level of inquisitiveness, or to shake everybody basically, to come to that point of understanding. So if we want to solve a problem, first we need to understand the problem. And it is true in any field. It's true in medical field, it's true in engineering field, it's true in economic field. In any field it's true. To solve a problem, we need to know the problem first. And when we say, I want to be happy, means I want to get rid of problems. Otherwise, yes, there may be, I'm not saying there is no happiness at all. Our lives are very miserable right now. I'm no way saying that. There is happiness, but that happiness is very flickering, very temporary. Just around the corner, something or other, some other problem is maybe waiting all the time. So when we want to understand the problem, first of all, what is the problem? What is the real problem? Now somebody, when we ask this question, what is the real, or what is the problem, or what problem one may have? Everybody may give different answer, right? Somebody may say, I have a money problem. Somebody may say, I have a house problem. I don't have a proper house. I have a financial problem, or I have a kids problem. I have a problem with spouse. So everybody may come up with different problem. But what is the real problem? Anybody knows what is the real problem of life? How we consider some problem to be a real problem?
What is the problem?
We are not satisfied with what we have. Yes, that's very true. We are always looking for something next. Somebody got a Camry. He is looking for maybe BMW. Somebody got a 2-bedroom house. Maybe looking for a 4-bedroom house. So we are not satisfied with what we have. That's true. So that leads to problem. But what is the real problem? So that problem may be very temporary problem. And one man's problem may not be other man's problem. Or actually one man's food may be other man's poison. For example, once, let's say, in a raining season, you go to a store to buy umbrella, and there is a street vendor outside the store, and the street vendor is cursing, why does it ever rains? I wish there is no rain at all. So the person goes inside the store, buys the umbrella, and the cashier at the store is saying, I wish there is always rains, so I have more business, people will come buy more umbrellas. So one man's problem is not necessarily other man's problem, or one man's food maybe is other man's poison. So one man's problem may not be affecting other person. So what is the real problem then? How we consider some problem to be real problem? So the criteria, there is a criteria for a problem to be considered a real problem. And the criteria is, it should be common to everybody. Nobody wants it, but nobody can escape from it. So if some problem meets this criteria, that problem is the real problem of life. It's common to everybody, nobody wants it, nobody is free from it. So now can you tell of anything which fits this criteria?
Disease.
Old age. All scholars. Birth. So, what Bhagavad Gita describe a problem to be a real problem? Janam Mrityu Jara Vayadi Dukkha Doshanudarshinah. So, Janam mrityu, jara, vyadi. So these are the four things which are the real problems of life. And one should try to see the fault in these four things. Now, mrityu, death, is that a problem or no? Does anybody want to die? Sir, come, we need to kill you. Anybody ready? Nobody want to die. But nobody can escape the death. Death is born with the birth. And the death is very painful actually. At the time of death, again the scriptures define, at the time of death, the pain one has to go through, it's like 33,000 scorpions biting at a time. Anybody experienced one scorpion bite? At the time of death, when the soul leaves the body, or one person dies, it's like 33,000 scorpions biting. So death, nobody wants to die, but it's common to everybody. Nobody can escape from it. Now, disease. Is disease a problem or not? No? Does anybody want to get sick? Nobody want to get sick. And everybody fears from the flu also. Everybody want to get flu shot. So I don't get flu. So everybody want to protect himself or herself as much as possible from the disease. We don't want to get sick. But has anybody been spared from disease from your birth till now? Anybody who had never been sick in his life? Either somebody has a cold, cough, fever, those are basic things. Stomachache, teethache. So nobody is free from disease. And then, zara, old age. How many of you want to get old? Old, like not 5-year child become 8-year, that older. Older means when you cross your 50s or something. How many of you want to become old? You know, what are the biggest industries these days? The $1 trillion industry. What are the biggest industries? Cosmetics and multivitamins. And both of these industries are targeted at what? To protect from disease and old age. So the cosmetic industry, nobody wants to become old, so nobody can escape from it. But all we can do is a patch-up work. You don't want to see wrinkles on your face, facelift. You don't want to see your nose being twisted or something, nose surgery. You don't want to have your eyes weak, okay, put some contact lens or glasses. So the whole industry is a patch-up work. They cannot solve the problem for sure. All we can do is just cover it up. Sweep the dust under the carpet. Now birth. Is birth really a problem or not? So, three of the other things, death, disease, old age, somehow people agree. But when it comes to birth, a lot of people have different opinion. No, birth, how come birth is a problem? Birth is a moment of joy. It's a celebration. So how birth is a problem? So now, the reason birth is also considered as a problem. First of all, the time of delivery, the mother has to go through a lot of pain. So that is one thing. But the baby in the womb of the mother, you know, what is the situation of the baby in the womb? The baby is curled up like a bow, arched like that, and hanging upside down in mother's womb for 9 months. And it's a complete dark. It's a situation like if I ask you, we will put you in a dark room which is just the size of your body, and you have to stay there arched up. We will put a small hole inside to deliver all the food you need. Just stay there for 9 months, and above all, yes, you have to be upside down. Stay in that situation in a complete dark room for 9 months. How many of you are ready to accept this proposal?
So submerge in the water.
Submerge in the water. Another thing is we will leave some worms to bite on your skin. So that is the situation of the baby inside the womb. He is upside down. When mother is walking, basically he is walking upside down, hanging in the air. And when the mother eats any pungent spicy food, the kid has to tolerate. And his skin is burning. And there will be some worms biting that. And sometimes mothers feel, oh, my baby just kicked me. And they feel very happy. You know why the baby kicks? Because he's suffering inside. He's trying to escape. He's trying to change side to protect himself from this, the hot, pungent, spicy food or the biting of the worm. But the mother feels, oh, she is feeling excitement. And then as soon as the baby comes out at the time of delivery, does the baby come out smiling or crying? Has you ever seen a baby coming out laughing, smiling, crying? Why? Because he was in so much suffering inside, so much of a miserable situation. And even if he doesn't cry, we make him cry. Pat him at the back. Why are you not crying?
There's a very scientific reason for that.
Right, I know. If we go into that, actually Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, describe the very details of child's growing in the womb of the mother. This is a chapter 25-26 in Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 3. And the gynecologist, if they read the description, how from the day 1 to day 7 to month 1 to 2, 3, 4, 9, how the baby grows in the womb of the mother. If the gynecologist read that, they are surprised. How come all these details are described something which is known as a religious scripture? How all this medical information is there? So all these problems, the real problems of life, what the scriptures are defining, but Bhagavad Gita is saying, Janam Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukh Dosh Anudarshina. One should try to see the misery and the problem in these things and try to prevent them. You know, everybody knows Srila Prabhupada. Who is Prabhupada? So Srila Prabhupada is the founder of this ISKCON movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Once a magician came to Prabhupada and he was showing his magic and all. He was asking, see, I can do this magic. Can you do any magic? Have you done any magic? Prabhupada said, yes, I have done a magic. I have taught my disciple how to become free from birth, death, old age and disease. Can you do that magic? So the magician said, no, sorry, I cannot do that magic. That only you can do that magic. So one need to see how we can prevent the real problems which are as described in scripture. Now apart from that, the problems of life are described among three categories. Adi Atmik Kalesh, Adi Bhautik Kalesh and Adi Devik Kalesh. So Kalesh means misery. Okay, so Sanskrit word Kalesh means misery. So the scriptures define three categories of problems in life. Adi Atmik Kalesh. So what is that? The misery is caused by our own body and mind. So whatever four miseries we describe, Janam Mrityu Jara Vyadi, so it comes under this category. Adi Atmik Kalesh. The misery is caused by our own body and mind. Now our body gives problem or no? Our body gives problem. Our mind gives problem. So the biggest problem actually in the medical field is stress. People are so much stressed out. The mind is dictating something or other all the time. So our body and mind are always giving problem. As the body starts aging, you cannot sit properly. You cannot sit for a long time in the way we are sitting right now, cross-legged. Your knees start hurting. So body and mind are always giving problem. And then Adi Bhautik Kalesh. The misery is caused by other living entity. Now, other living entity give us problem or no? We are always troubled by others. It may be your boss, it may be your neighbor, it may be your neighbor's dog, it may be a mosquito, it may be your spouse, it may be your kid. So misery is caused by other living entities. And then Adi, Devik Kalesh. Misery is caused by higher nature. Now recently we had this very recent experience. Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma. So all this, what is that? Sometime hurricane, tsunami, flood, or no rain, drought. All this is what? The problem caused by higher nature. Because whatever we have been doing, we have shifted the balance of the whole universe, and then the nature retaliates. So nature brings upon suffering. And can we escape from that suffering? So when the hurricane is coming, can we prevent that hurricane to come? I command you, don't get closer to my home. Can we say that? All this technological advancement, at the best, what can we do is blow our sirens. Please evacuate the area. Everybody go away. Right? So, these are the real problems of life. Adhyatmik klesh, adhi bhautik klesh, adhi devik klesh. So, this is what an intelligent person need to see. Okay, I am running behind happiness. But no matter whatever I do, these problems are going to stay. Is there something I can do to solve these problems? With our so much medical advancement, we may not be able to prevent all these four things. Janam, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. Again, as I said, all we can do is patch up work. So what is the solution to these problems? How do we solve this problem? What is the proposal to solve this problem? So media propagates a lot of things. When you were driving from your home till here, you may have seen many billboards advertising many different things. You get this thing, you will enjoy, you will be happy. Oh, you buy this cloth, you will be happy. Buy this jean, you will be happy. Buy this car, you will be happy. Buy a condo in this subdivision, you will be happy. Go to vacation to this place, you will be happy. So all we are doing is how I can get little bit of happiness temporarily. So the media or whatever we see all around us is proposing just engage your senses to enjoy and try to enjoy in one way or another. Right? Either it's in terms of eating, in terms of sleeping, in terms of going for a vacation, in terms of getting a good job, in terms of getting a good home. So it's just proposing a temporary happiness which can be driven artificially something from sense objects. Actually the scripture warned, the more we try to engage in sense enjoyment, it can also bring further suffering. Now all these terminal diseases, what is the reason somebody gets all sort of disease, AIDS, cancer, this, that? Maybe the person try to indulge into so much of sense enjoyment which led to that sort of disease. Is that true or false? Now the scripture warned and they give example of trying to enjoy in different ways. So all our five senses, eyes, ear, touch, smell, tongue, which are the five senses. The scripture give example of each sort of sense. Now, for the eyes, the example is given of a moth. Now moth is very attracted to light or fire. So to enjoy the fire more closely and closely, the moth is getting closer to the flame, getting closer to the fire, thinking, I want to enjoy. Just that vision is so attractive for the moth, and it gets so close that it gets consumed by that fire. So just trying to enjoy, it just gets consumed. Same way ears, the example given is of a deer. The deer is so much attracted to the sound of flute, music. And this is what the hunter uses to catch the deer. So the hunter is playing the flute and the deer is so attracted to the sound. and it gets closer and closer, and it comes in front of the hunter, and hunter shoots down that deer. So just the same attraction causes to a miserable situation for the deer. Now touch. Example given is of elephant. Elephant is madly running behind a she-elephant to grab the she-elephant, to be able to embrace, touch that she-elephant. And this is what the hunters use as a catch for the elephant. So they will dig up a place, cover it up with some dry grass leaves, and they train a she-elephant to attract the male elephant and bring it to that place. So the elephant, under the intoxication of trying to catch that she-elephant, to touch and embrace that, he's running behind. So she-elephant comes, bring him in front of that ditch. And ultimately the elephant ends up falling in that. And that 6 feet person beats up that elephant and make him a slave. That so much powerful animal, he ends up becoming a slave. Smell. Example is a musk deer. Musk deer is what we call Kasturi Mrig. So that deer, the musk deer, he has musk in the navel. But he is bewildered. From there that fragrance is coming. That musk fragrance is coming. And he is searching behind that smell, or searching behind that fragrance, from where it is coming. And he ends up in a deserted place. No water, nothing. And he ends up dying there in that place. So just the sense of that smell, that attraction for that smell, becomes a miserable object for that deer. Tongue. Fish cannot resist anything to eat. No matter how much you feed, she is ready to grab another bite. So the fisherman, she puts the bait, and the hook goes in the tongue of that fish to catch that fish. So just the tendency to eat, to enjoy, that urge of tongue, lead the fish in a miserable situation. So the scripture gives this example. Why? The reason is, more we try to engage, indulge ourselves in sense enjoyment, trying to think, I will be able to enjoy more and more and more, it actually leads to suffering. And moreover, no matter how much we can enjoy, our capacity to enjoyment is limited. Is that true or false? So if somebody is fan of rasgullas, very much likes rasgulla, you feed him one rasgulla, two rasgulla, three, four, five, maybe until then it's okay. After 10, the same rasgulla which was giving pleasure now will become maybe a source of misery. No more, please. I don't want any more. But why? What happened? You liked rasgulla so much. What happened now? Because we have limitation. How much we can enjoy with our senses. So, up to here, everybody may be thinking, oh, we came to maybe some satsang program, thinking, search for happiness, how to become happy. But all the time here, what we are listening is, what are my problems? I even didn't know about all this problem earlier. Now I know about all that. Oh, I have Adi Bhakti Klesh, Adi Atmi Klesh, Adi Devi Klesh. Earlier I did not know that. So ignorance is bliss. But now I know that, now I am even more miserable. So I did not come here to become miserable. So this part so far, what we have discussed, is to again shake ourselves up, to awake ourselves from the slumber. We have been sleeping in the ignorant situation, thinking,